Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned off the seatbelt sign and you are free to move around the cabin. I'd like to remind you though, for your safety, please keep your seatbelt fastened.
Non-Rev Lounge is a travel and aviation podcast. Tyler and Monique are siblings that both work for a major airline in Phoenix, Arizona. During this podcast, they will discuss using their flight benefits to travel the world, as well as talk about things that happen at work. They have guests on almost every week to share their travels and stories, leaving tips on the best places to travel or things to do. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Non-Rev Lounge. Today, Monique and I are sitting with my grandma-in-law, Grandma Morrison. We are really grateful that she is letting us sit with her and share some of her stories with us. We started this podcast last December, and I wish we had started it earlier because just before then, our grandfather had passed away, and he was a pilot for United and was big into aviation. He loved to fly and loved stories about it, and wish we could have had him on the show with us. But we're going to hear some of his stories today and some of the stories with Grandma Morrison and grandfather and some of the places that they got to go and some of those. So we're excited for that. When I married into this family, because Monique and I grew up and neither of us, our family had no aviation history.
Yeah, none.
We didn't, our parents were teachers. We flew very little. So, but when I married into this family, it was just another aviation guy. Grandfather was a pilot. I have two uncles, one for American, one for Delta. So that are in the family. You grew up with flight benefits and...
I didn't grow up with...
You didn't grow up, but yeah.
After I got married.
Yeah, so, but your kids and you, yeah.
Well, I can tell you a story right now.
Oh, go ahead.
When I first met Arling, he and I have mutual friends. And so I had a boyfriend at the time, but since we had mutual friends that married, I was very friendly, you know, very friendly with him, even though I had a boyfriend. And I had never been in an airplane.
Oh, wow.
And when I met him, you know, he was all gung-ho pilot and in training out at Williams for jet pilot. And we started going together and he said, have you ever been in an airplane? I said, no. And so he rented an airplane at Luke, I believe, small airplane, took me out there and took me up in an airplane. And it was fascinating to me. I looked down at the ground and it was like a patchwork quilt, you know, all yeah. The fields and everything. And I was just fascinated. Well, when we got down later, he told me that he took me up to see what my reaction would be to flying, because he had the girlfriend he had had just before me. He took her up in an airplane and she freaked out.
It was like a deal breaker
for
him.
She freaked out. She started clawing at him.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and it was a trial for him to get that airplane down safe. And so that's why he took me up, and I was just fascinated. You know, it's just like you were floating in the air. So that's the first experience I had with.
Oh, that's very cool. That's what, when I met Katie, our first time we ever talked was at a church activity, and we talked about Hawaii. She was planning a trip to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
And so once I knew that she loved to travel, then that was I could keep talking to her at least. Yeah.
Do you know, I remember when she went to Hawaii with you before you were married.
Yeah, we went.
Yeah.
But she went again before even then. She was with an old boyfriend. And so, but she had planned to go. It was like a once in a lifetime trip. That. And so, yeah. So yeah, that's a fun story.
Uh-huh. So that trip up with grandfather, did that seal the deal for you? Were you like, okay, this is the guy?
I don't know. I didn't think much about it because I had a boyfriend who I had promised to marry.
Oh, wow. So thanks so much for sitting down with us. We're excited to get to know. Well, I'm excited to get to know you because I've never met you before. Kind of get to know you and then hear a little bit about grandfather because I never met him and hear some of his stories. So we're just going to go around and we're going to ask a few questions. You can answer. Tyler will answer. I'll go around and answer. Is there some place you've been to eat? Like, have you flown somewhere and ate somewhere that you remember, like that was good food? So one of my favorite places in Texas, I don't know if I've said this before, but they've got really good tacos at a place called Torchy's Tacos. One of them, they're kind of, they have like funny names for their tacos too. Like yeah, the one really I really good. Like is called like Trailer Trash. Is the name of it, but it's
so. you had is the good but casual.
Yes, that's a polite way to say yeah. it. Yeah.
It started as a morning started as a like a food truck.
Did it?
It did. So, and then they got bigger and more popular, and so now they made it into a restaurant. And even when I went to in Austin, inside of it, the decor is a food truck inside of a restaurant.
Oh, it's my. Kind of,
but yeah, the food is really good. But yeah, it's more
casual.
Yeah. But yeah.
Taco. Well, and they've got this dessert. I think they call them nookies, but it's like cookie dough deep fried with like a batter kind I've of on top. Yeah, they're good.
Not so healthy.
No, the one I'm thinking of is fried ice cream.
Ooh, that sounds good too. I don't think I've ever had fried ice cream.
It's coated with something and they deep fry it.
Deep fried.
Crust.
Ooh.
Of course, I don't know how they do it, but it's ice cream inside of this little crusty thing.
When it stays like solid ice cream inside? Oh.
They must know how to dip it in and dip it out.
So mine is, there's a place in Indianapolis where it's a sushi place. Monique's been there before.
Yeah,
it's called
good.
Naked Chopstick. So this one of the rolls they bring out, they wrap it in tinfoil and they light it, some sauce, what's that oil kind of, that they light on fire that caramelizes the sauce on the outside of it.
Wow.
It's really good. So if you're ever in Indianapolis, yeah, and you're looking for sushi, check out Naked Chopsticks. It's really, I'd go back there just for that meal.
Well, and for a while, I don't know if it's still there, but they had a Naked Chopsticks in the airport.
Yeah, they took it out, but there was one.
Oh, did they?
You could
dang.
Fly in and pick it up right in the airport. Mm-hmm. So,
all right. So next question for you. Have you ever been somewhere, like flown somewhere and visited a place that you thought, I could live here?
I think so. Quite a few places.
Like for me, every time I go to New York, I think I would like to try to live here. Not for long term, but like maybe for a year.
No.
You're shaking your head. No to New York.
I just had the opposite experience with New York. It was too busy, too much noise. So I think more some of the places we visited, boy, this is, you know, Scotland and the green hills.
Yeah.
Rolling hills and just so beautiful. And that's what I would pick out where I'd like to live.
I've never been to Scotland, but I would love to get up there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
that's why I'm the same way with New York. I love to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. That's too many people and it's such a small area. So for me, I think I could live in Hawaii.
Oh,
well, yeah. That's
anybody could.
Yeah. Well, that was her tough
that's
question.
So relaxed. Yeah. We've been there. I've been there maybe four times, you know, a couple of times. It's just Arling and I, and then we took the kids. Then we went with some friends. I love Hawaii.
I was talking to Shannon. I think she said one of the trips when you went to Hawaii, and she would run up and down the stairs in the 747 because they had the two levels.
Oh, yeah, those kids. Yeah, and a long flight. Yeah, I thought she was going to tell you about the time we went to Hawaii, and the kids got so sunburned that I had them laying, five kids just laying on that motel floor, and I was swabbing him with vinegar water.
Oh.
Vinegar water helps scent burn. Yeah, one after the other, and I was just going from one to the other, putting paper towels with water, vinegar water on it. It's helped the sunburn to quieten it down. Yeah, that was one experience we had.
And they're all laying there going, my turn.
Mm. We have a rule in Hawaii. It's don't get burned on the first day because then it ruins the rest of the trip.
Yeah. That is a crook family rule.
Oh, man. And when you haven't been out in the sun, it only takes about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So, but we had a lot of fun in Hawaii with the kids.
Well, and Hawaii's not super hot where you feel like you're
right.
Completely burning.
The
so it is
year
easy.
Round. It's kind of moderate all the year.
Yeah.
Round.
But that sun is just beats, even though it doesn't.
Oh,
you know, feel like Arizona. It's not. Yeah. Hot, but
it doesn't feel that hot.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful because it doesn't. That's what all of my kids got sunburned with.
I feel like almost everyone who goes to Hawaii has that story of some kind of sunburn.
That's what we, if we do the beach and get fried, then we try to go into the green, the jungle kind of part of Hawaii. So you kind of the shade for a couple of days to let that sunburn heal before kinda, you.
Yeah.
All right. So do you have a trip that you can remember that was kind of a spontaneous trip? I know for me, we are not, I'm not spontaneous. I get it from my mom. If I'm going to be spontaneous, I have to plan to be spontaneous. Yeah. Just plan to be spontaneous. Yeah. But I just
I don't know.
Did you ever fly with grandfather? Like, did he was when he was a pilot? Did you ever?
I did once. He did a lot of testing on airplanes.
Okay.
If they had a new something on them, he'd test it to see how it would. And this one time, he invited me. There was he and I think there was a co-pilot, and then just two other guys on this great big airplane, and he let me sit in the jump seat behind him.
Oh, wow.
That's cool. Yeah. And that's really cool.
This big airplane, DC-10, I don't think it was that big, but he was flying it, doing some testing on it. They had new apparatus on it. And it was amazing to me to be in that cockpit and look out at nothing, you know, and it felt just like I wasn't moving, going about 400 miles an hour. And it felt like I was standing still because it was so nothing, no reference. So that amazed me.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And there he would sit. I don't know how the pilots stay awake. You know, nothing, just clouds, I guess.
Yeah, just
so calm, it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, so calm. This was a nice, calm day, and I was amazed at how they can stay awake. But it's quite an experience.
Well, not many people.
Because a pilot has to be a certain type of a personality, or because they have to sit for hours and hours, but be able to jump into something that's critical. But sitting there. But that's what it is mostly. It's just, but there's, Arling tells a story about he wasn't in a big airplane. He was in a small airplane. And he invited his friend, he was teaching Ray how to fly. Arling owned a little airplane when we were there in Boulder. And he would teach men how to, well, he taught women too how to fly. And he was flying with Ray Sessions one time. They were going into Salt Lake, I think, and it was, Ray was learning, you know, but it got cloudy and they couldn't see the ground.
Yeah.
And so Ray didn't know how to do that with the instruments and everything, fly on the instruments. So as they got closer, Arling didn't know what he was going to do either because he couldn't see anything. But he said all of a sudden the clouds opened up and he could see the ground.
Oh, wow.
And so he took the airplane down and it was cloudy still right down on the ground. But he could see just barely the strobe lights.
Just enough.
As he got through those clouds, and that got him down.
Wow.
Just he didn't know exactly where the runway was, but he knew those lights. And so he landed, and he's had a few experiences in the airplane. Did you see that rocking chair in the hallway?
Yeah.
Arling's grandmother, Grandma Sadie, liked to collect antiques, so she would go to antique shops, and she found that chair. And she called Arling's mom and said, I've got this little antique rocking chair. Would you like to have it? And said, sure. And she told Arling about it, and he said, yeah, I'm going to fly to Salt Lake, and I'll just pick it up from Grandma and put it in the airplane. So he did that little thing, and it didn't sound like a very big airplane, because he said he opened the hatch or whatever it was and plane kind of in the back of the seat. And on the way over there, something happened, and he had to make an emergency landing. And I think at that time, it was the gear didn't work. It wouldn't go down or something.
That's scary.
And so he had to crash land the airplane. And he did it, and he landed fine, but it skidded off of the tarmac into the sand, you know, kind of skidded off. But well, he got out of the airplane and called, of course they called the emergency crew, and they're on their way. But he had a lot of sand in his boots for skidding on the airplane. And he went and got that chair out of the back of the plane, put it on the ground, and sat down and started taking his boots off to empty the sand out. When the emergency guys came and got a picture of him sitting in the rocking chair with a crashed airplane next to it. He was sitting in that rocking chair.
That's pretty funny.
And I've never seen the pictures. And he said they took them and put them in the local paper. But he said they put them in the local paper of him sitting there. And that I sure would have liked to have one of those pictures.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Right above the chair back there.
But him just looking cool as a cucumber next to the crashed plane.
Yeah. Oh, there are lots of stories.
So what are some of the best things and the worst things about being married to a pilot?
Well, the best things, you get to travel a lot. And we took the kids on many trips, you know. The worst thing is you're alone quite a bit because they go on 3 or 4 day trips.
Yeah, gone.
And you have 5 little kids and you live on a 160-acre farm in Colorado. And you're supposed to take care of everything with 40 head of cows and two horses and a dog. And
wow.
And you're supposed to take care of it while he takes off and has fun in the airplane.
Well, he's over in Spain. And yeah.
So, but I don't remember resenting that at all. Some people would say to me, aren't you afraid when he flies? Because I think that was more when he was flying the fighter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we were in the service for 12 years, and then he retired and went to work for United. And the women, when they got together for their parties, would talk, and some of them were really bothered by it. But I don't remember. It was like he went to work and came home. I didn't think too much about it. I was busy with taking care of kids.
Yeah.
having kids and taking care of them. So we got along pretty good.
So right now at the point, we have 3 kids, and they're all young. We have a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and it's fun to travel with them, but it's also, that's a lot of work, as you know. And so I just want to know, does it get better?
Yes, it does.
Okay. I was ready for her to say no.
You don't have to keep your eye on them every minute.
From running up and down the stairs on the airplane.
Yeah, both she and Ruthanna were doing that.
Look at her name drop. But she's not scared.
Nobody cared. It seemed like there weren't too many people on the airplane, and so they entertaining themselves.
Yeah, we have to check 3 car seats now because all 3 kids are within that range. And so it's just...
Do you know when my kids were that age, they didn't require car
seats?
I just... In fact, we didn't have seat belts.
Load them up, go.
Load them up.
And don't get too close to the windshield.
They would be moving around in the back. I had a Volkswagen, and they would, you know how there's a little well in the back, the seats, and then behind the seats is a little compartment you can put suitcases or something. Well, they always used to get, like, a couple of them get in that little compartment and play. And that was fine. They seemed to, with 5 kids in that VW. One time, one of the guys in the Air Force, he said, 5 children and the little VW, he said, I saw you getting out of that Volkswagen, and I thought there would be no end to the kids that came out.
Like a clown car.
Yeah.
Do you remember what age would you start letting your kids fly, go on little trips? Because I talked to Shannon, and she said it was 12 or 14 you let her go on a flight to somewhere.
By yourself.
What I do remember is Arling had a little airplane, Comanche, and he taught Robert, Jay, and Ruthanna how to fly in that little airplane. But when he started letting Robert take that airplane, with a friend to Tucson, by himself, I didn't sleep that night.
Oh, really?
I woke him up and I said, "You think he'll be okay?" And he said, "I taught him to fly, didn't I?"
That was his response.
"He's okay. He knows." Because he said that Robert, when he was teaching him how to fly, he said he never made a mistake. He said he had to take him up and create a situation and make him correct it. That's why Robert made a good. Yeah. He had that instinct. That's what it takes. And, perception, depth of perception. Some pilots can't fly because they don't have that. And you can't tell how close you are to the runway or something.
Well, that's one of the things that Grandfather did for United, right? He taught other pilots. It wasn't that part of his job.
Yes. Right? He was an instructor pilot.
He was very good at that.
In both the Air Force and... Oh, yeah, he was teaching. He was very, he'd give them the lessons, and then he'd have to take them up and test them.
So I remember hearing stories about how that was one of his passions, was teaching others how to.
Right.
So, well, good.
So we're always looking for new places to go. Where's somewhere that you've been that you think we need to check out?
I think Spain would have been my favorite.
I've never been. Monique's been to
Spain. I've been to Madrid, yeah.
So I want to hear about it. So okay. Tell me what...
We didn't get to Madrid. We went over on the eastern coast and Barcelona. And it was fascinating because at one museum we went to, they had a clipper ship. It was outside and it was under, protected... But this great big clipper ship, and the only place you see those is in a movie.
What is a clipper ship?
A clipper ship, that's the ship that had and it went up and had two, I don't know what you call them, but there would be men in the bottom of the boat rowing.
Oh, wow.
That was how they moved the boat.
So it's an old boat, yeah, that they have rowers. Yeah. Yeah.
And there would be a captain up on the platform yelling orders to them. Row or keeping row the beat or something.
So was that inside of a museum or was that in the water museum?
It was in a museum. It was outside of a museum.
Okay.
And to me, I don't really remember what else was in the museum, but that to me was so fascinating to see that.
That would be cool to see.
And the oars were there and the seats. That was in Spain. Then we went to the Yadro factory. You know what Yadro is?
No. Uh-uh.
It's a porcelain, very fine porcelain factory where I've got... some in there. We bought. We had a little horse with a girl on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, almost like the carousel.
But we were going through the factory, and that's expensive.
Oh, wow.
Very, very expensive. You can get secondhand stuff. We were walking through there, and I was just Googling at it,
Is your husband just pulling you along? Keep coming. Keep coming.
And he said, "Well, what would you like to buy?" And I was just being funny, and we were passing by that. And I said, "Okay, I'll take that."
And he got it for you.
He bought it for me.
Oh.
It cost, you don't know how much it cost?
Do we?
Do you?
How much did it cost?
$500 at that time.
Oh, wow.
$500 for that piece.
And then he picked up a lot of shifts after that? He picked up extra work.
Oh, shifts.
Yeah, shifts to help pay
extra
for that.
Flights, yeah.
Help pay for it.
Extra trips.
that was fun.
Spain's on my list of places to go.
Well, it would be the highlight they've got so much history there. We didn't get to see it all, but we went around the Rock of Gibraltar off of Spain to get into, it's hooked to Spain. But it's not in Spain. Spain wants it. Rock of Gibraltar. You know what it is?
No.
Well, during the war, it was a fortress for the military to spy ships coming up and down. So the military used it for, to watch what's going through the canal. So we got to visit that.
That would be cool to go out there and see that.
Rock of Gibraltar, yeah. It's very memorable. If you get down there, don't miss it. But it's Spain doesn't own it, and they want to. But they have it gated off from Spain. When we were we'd taken the tour and went to go leave, and they had closed the gates because a group of Spaniards, a large group, would come every day to try to get through and try to, they wanted to, Spain wanted to own them.
So they,
but he said they would demonstrate that belonged to Spain. They would demonstrate.
Yeah, that's something
that's interesting.
Yeah. I'll have to look into that more. That's, I really don't know too much about Spain, but that's something I want to go. And there's a number of Barcelona and Madrid and it's big cities in that one country. Yeah.
So much history. Of course, that's where we didn't get around to it. But on the western side is where Columbus set sail from there to America.
Do you have any stressful or funny non-rev stories that you can remember? Times when, so we've talked about, like, I've had to sleep on the floor in airports because we couldn't get it. So do you have any stories that come to mind?
Did Shannon tell you about when she and Larry came to Boulder and they had Katie and Spencer. Spencer was the baby. Well, we decided that they could take Katie and fly to North Carolina. That's where he was based next. And I agreed that I could take Spencer when they got settled in a week. So I had that baby for a week. He was, I think it was 9 months old. But I got in Denver. I got on the airplane with Spencer. Everything settled. Then they told me I had to get off. And then a while later, they said, okay, you can get back on. Well, because of the delay of the airplane, I missed my airplane to Shannon with the baby. And so there in Denver, what did I have to do? I had to sit in the airport all night with that baby. And I walked down the concourse where there weren't any people, and I found a corner. This was 8 o'clock at night because my airplane had already gone. And so I found a corner and prayed. Everything would be all right. He had a little cold and sniffles, but he still was good. Drank his bottle. He didn't make any fuss. That was such a blessing. But I sat there in that seat with his stroller right between my legs. And I would, I didn't ever go to sleep, but, I'd get so tired. And then in the morning, I got on the airplane and flew to, and Shannon was there to meet me at the gate with Katie in her hand, by the hand. And as I walked through that gate, she was right at the gate where I came out. Now it's funny, but we looked at each other. And we both just started to bawl. Hug each other. We were so glad to see each other.
You finally made it with my baby.
Yeah.
You're like, finally take your baby.
Yeah. But he was so good. So, it turned out all right.
There's been a few times where I felt like crying when I've made it places. Because you're like, I finally made it.
Yeah.
That's what Shanna told me, that story.
Oh, did
she? Yeah, she did. And she said, she said she's got a good one to tell you.
Yeah.
She told her. So yeah, she said, you guys just cried and then you laughed.
Yeah.
You made
it. Did. We
and
did.
Things are different nowadays because we can contact each other easily. Phones, cell phones.
Yeah, but you didn't have any of that.
Yeah. And I can get on my phone and I can track your flight. I can see in the air right when you land. But back then it was just like
nothing.
Yeah. So Shannon was probably just standing at the other end, watching everyone get off and be like, okay, where's my
mom
and baby?
Right.
Where's not yet.
And had to come for the morning.
Yeah. So we like to give tips to our listeners, travel tips, things that we've kind of learned through our travels. Are there any tips that you want to share?
You go first. Yeah. Make me think of
something. So from our conversation today, I think one of my tips would be to go to Spain and find that museum. That's what I want to do now.
We did that.
With that boat. So I think that's something that I want to do now, and I think would be a good one for other people to do. I think it's a good one. So I'm going to look.
So I think my tip would be is if you're single like I am and you're kind of in a relationship, take them flying and see how they do.
Oh.
Do they strangle you?
or do they all over you. Don't take them again.
Yeah. Or do they enjoy the flight? Because that may be a like a deal breaker?
Well, I met some people on the airplane a couple of times. The white, they call them white knuckles, yeah, flyers, hanging on to them, and their knuckles are white. And it's, I, you know, I told you about my first flight. I never was like that. I just felt really relaxed. And but I met two or three people that, yeah, were deathly afraid of it.
Do you have any kind of tips when you were non-revving? If you were telling other people something they should do or to bring, did you bring anything with you when you traveled that was always a good idea?
Something to read. That's what I always did.
Bring headphones so you had to listen to kids cry.
They had movies usually on the airplane that entertained the kids. Yeah.
But a book's a good idea because, yeah, if your phone dies these days or something, yeah, happens and you need something to entertain, mm-hmm, you, a book's always a good choice.
That's what I always have. Otherwise, you just sit there or sleep. Try to sleep.
I'm pretty good at that, too.
Yeah. After you travel enough.
Yeah. I'm usually one that's asleep before we even take off.
Oh, you are. Yeah. You're very relaxed.
Yeah.
It's funny what Monique was saying about finding someone that likes to travel for us, if you're single. When I first met Katie, she wanted to be with me all the time. And so I used to travel with Monique, because before I met Katie, Monique was on my passes. And so when we'd fly, we would just get the best seats. We didn't have to be by each other. We traveled together. And then when I met Katie, Katie would want to sit next to me. And I said, sit over there. Like, that's a better seat. Yeah. We have a space between us.
Yeah.
But she wanted to be right by me. But now she's like, yeah, you go sit in your seat.
We'll take two windows, please.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think Katie was too used to flying. She never was afraid, was she?
No, she wasn't. No,
just, yeah, she wanted to be sitting by her boyfriend.
Yeah. I said, yeah, we don't need that.
I remember that trip to Hawaii.
We've been a lot now. That's what we talk about Hawaii, I think, on every single show.
We do, yeah.
Even if we try to avoid it, it comes up. So we love it so much there. So
there's quite a few stories. Yeah, United, we did. Fun. It's fun memories. When Arling and I first started dating, I remember something he told me. I told you I had another boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then he just kept coming around, you know, when he was a friend. Just a friend. And one time we'd been on a date and something I remember that I remembered all my life, and it's true. And we were so young then, I hadn't started flying yet. But he says, oh, Norma, you know, the things that we do while we're young is what we live on when we're old. Memories.
Yeah.
And it is. It's a light. It's fun to remember them. Because I can't go any place now, and, you know, but you still have those memories.
We had our dad on last week as our guest, and when we got done and we finished recording, and he said, I want to travel now, because talking about traveling again and having those memories. And I feel like, you know, we haven't traveled since we started this too much because of the COVID virus. But so talking to people and hear their stories, it's like, it makes me want to go out and travel more. We already do travel. I always want to keep traveling. So yeah, those memories are good. And did you ever stress about not making flights?
Oh yeah, we've had to stay in the airport overnight once. Well, that's with my kids. Other than that, it's a lot of waiting because you get on last. They get an airplane all filled up. If there's empty seats, you get to go. And you never knew. Well,
thank you for being a guest. You've been great. Your stories have been fantastic. And I'm sure everyone that listens has enjoyed them. So thank you for coming on with us and being a guest.
It's wonderful of you to do it and be patient with me.
No, you've been fantastic.
Yeah, you've been really fun. It's been fun to hear your stories.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
I thought it was going to be scary.
No.
We just like talking about traveling and hearing stories about it. And I know that, I mean, you said you didn't grow up in it like us, but you married into it. And then you've been.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you next week. All right. Bye.
Bye. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
This has been Non-Rev Lounge. Thanks for joining Tyler and Monique. You can find them on Instagram and Twitter by searching Non-Rev Lounge. Also, you can contact them at nonrevloungepodcast@gmail.com. They would love to hear from you. They are always looking for ideas to make their show better. If you are enjoying the show, please think about leaving a review or rating so other people can find this show. Thanks for joining us. See you next week and safe travels.